Oh, Father God, we, everybody in this room, truly do thank you for what you did this morning and thus far. And Father God, I know that you're not finished with your work here yet today. So Father, I'm asking you to have the Holy Spirit dig in deeper into our spirit man's and reveal everything you want us to find out today. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the latter rain has already fallen. You know, some people are saying the reason why it's being held up. Some people are saying it's going to come soon. But the latter rain has truly already fallen. Now, since God's going to talk about the latter rain here, because he gave me a prophetic word, I'm telling you what the latter rain is to begin with, in the beginning. All right, there's a former and latter day rain. Revival and outpouring, it's revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit is what the latter rain is. According to Pentecostal understanding, the former rain corresponds to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the first Christian Pentecost, you know, in Acts. The latter rain represents a future Pentecost when the Holy Spirit will be poured out in an extraordinary way, leading to revival and increased faith in God. And that's where this church is at today. All right? I don't preach in other churches. I don't go to other churches, so I don't know what other churches are doing. But this is where we're at today. All right, end time spiritual awakening. The latter rain symbolizes the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Christ's church just before the second coming of Jesus. And see, God has been telling us for years now that this era that we're in right now is preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. You know, John the Baptist prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus. And now God is using the remnant churches to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. In Joel 2:23-29 describes a spiritual experience preparing God's people for the harvest. And this is what it says. Joel 2:23. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain, the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. See, he says he's going to restore. What's he been prophesying to us? This is a year I'm going to restore everything that the palmer and cankerworm has stolen from you. Verse 26, he said, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. 27 says, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. You know, we're Israel, right? And that I am the Lord your God and there is none else, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You know, the church has brought a lot of shame upon God and Jesus and Holy Spirit. But God is working with that, and he's doing away with all that shame, and now we're going to bring him glory. And I really get upset when we sit in the house of God and we complain when God has been so good to us. And verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Now see, so right now, God prophesied he's bringing new prophets on the scene. He's using really young kids to prophesy. He's using people who don't even know about prophecy to prophesy. All right, so he's already brought that on the scene. Verse 30, he says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire in columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape. As the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those who the Lord calls. I want you to understand one thing. We are in this dispensation of time. And God had told me personally that he has everything lined up and ready to go, and it's going to go according to his time clock, and he's going to stay on his path that he has laid out before us. So if you're trying to change God's mind in your life, you are in a wrong place. God has told you exactly what he wants to do with you and how he wants to use you. And now it's up to you to yield to that and let God just have control. I was surprised how many people in here, two or three, that did not yield to that anointing that was in the room. You know, it's because you don't know your Father. You talk about him, but you don't really know him. You talk about the Spirit, but you don't really know or understand the Spirit. And I always, when somebody says, well, I hear things in the Spirit, I just sit and grin inside. And I said, you don't really know the Spirit of God. But you will one day if you cry out to God, I really want to know the Spirit in its fullness. Get in your Word and study about what the Spirit of God does. It's the Spirit of God right now that's moving through us. And God is using him to do great and marvelous things. Now, we're getting ready to go into the miracles, everyday miracles. We're getting ready to be in the house of God every day. How many of you are really prepared for that? How many of you are prepared for the great outpouring of souls? That's what I'm hearing him say. That he has ready to just throw into the doors. Are you really ready to minister to those people? All right, in summary, whether understood literally or symbolically, the concept of latter rain points to blessings, revival, and spiritual refreshment. I don't know about you, but I'm being refreshed by what he does in here. Amen. I know you all have had this experience, but I had an experience for the first time in my life. I was sitting at my desk and I was listening. He was giving me this word, and this sweet smell came into my room. And I know you've all talked about this, you know. And I looked all around, I thought, I wonder what that was. And then God said, that was my angel, and it was honeysuckle that you smelled. And sure enough, it was honeysuckle. I got so excited, I couldn't stand myself. and I thought, this is what everybody, a lot of you know it, you've already experienced it. This is what you're talking about. And I might have smelled it and just thought it was something else, you know, it's hard to tell. But the other day, I literally knew that I was all alone and nobody else was around, and I knew that a special fragrance had come into the room. All right, now this is what God prophesied to me to tell you people. A little rain must fall into every life. However, I am sending a torrent of rain your way. This rain carries all the power of heaven. This is the latter rain spoken of in my word. You will feel the rain pouring out upon you, and you will walk in the miraculous because of this latter rain. Now, when he said that, you will feel the rain, I know that we're going to get wet. You know, we might be in our car, we might be doing anything, but all of a sudden we're going to get wet. And it's not menopause, whatever you call it. All right? I mean, when he was saying this, I just knew that he was going to do that. Just like he poured the oil on me that night, the oil was on me. Just like Sister Kim had the oil on her hands. He's going to manifest himself, and we're going to know he's God, and he's moving in our lives. And God went on to say, in due time, the floods of revival will begin to pour out all across this great land. You know, he said, in due time, so it's not happening. You know, the floods of revival aren't happening right now. It's just a little fire here and a little fire there. But the flood of revival is going to break out. And then because of these latter rains, the end time harvest will be brought in. As the days go forward, all those whom I have anointed to bring in this end time harvest will feel this rain pouring down upon them. There is richness in this latter rain that has never been seen nor felt. This latter rain has been reserved for this time frame in my plans to bring in the final harvest before the return of my son Jesus. This latter rain has been reserved for this time frame in my plans to bring in the final harvest. So this latter rain, all the anointings, everything we're going to see, all the miracles we're going to see, was God was saving them for this time frame. But if you go back years or 40, 50 years ago, when the latter rain was being poured out then, he was doing the same thing then. But somehow or other, it's going to be greater than we've ever had before. It could be just the souls. You're the harvest of souls. But we're going to walk in the miraculous day in and day out. God went on to say, you will go forth with trust in me that will supersede all doubt and unbelief. Nothing and nobody will deter you from the path that is set before your feet. Your minds are made up. You are solidified in your calling, and all of hell is trembling. Well, this is for you guys, and this is what he said. The path is set before your feet. Your minds are made up. You are solidified in your calling. In other words, you know what God's calling you to do, and all hell is trembling. Amen. And God, when I say my promises are new every morning, and you hear my voice speaking new directions every morning, therefore your feet will not slip off the path I have set them on. In Lamentations 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, really true, if you stop, think about it, be honest, you need God's mercies new every morning because you done wore out yesterday's. You know, and you need to start fresh and new today. I don't know about you, but I knew I do that, you know. All right, God said, you have already found security in my voice, and no other voice will you follow. So all of you now that know the voice of God, that's what he's talking about. He said, I will speak wondrous things into your ears, and as you follow the directions, the miraculous will occur on an everyday basis. So I went back and I got John Chapter 10. Let's look at that. God said, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he, you have to go to heaven in the name of Jesus. All right? But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. I'm doing this because it just said here we have security in his voice. All right? So he says here, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So many people say, well, how do I know it's God's voice? Right here's your answer. Amen. And if you really want to know the truth, whenever you hear God speaking, if it's a devil, he always twists something. If you're really listening, there's something that he does that lets you, oh, hey, this isn't even God, all right? So that's why you have to know the still, small voice of God. All right, Romans 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you have an abundant life? You know, or you walk around, you know, in poverty, you know, of soul. Think about that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. You know, every time I read that, I think about pastors who get into sin and stay in sin and still stay behind the pulpit. They're not leading their sheep in a good way. All right? So if you're going to be a shepherd, evangelist, or whatever God's called you to be, make sure you're living a holy, righteous life. And make sure that whenever you stand behind a pulpit or wherever you're at, that you're walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is the one that is talking through you and not the enemy. Because the enemy can give advice too. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now, here's the old bad crew. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? All right, I put that in there just to let you know, people are going to say you're of the devil. Yeah, when you're out there doing God's work, people are going to say all manner of evil about you. Just don't take 30 years to learn that like I had to. I'm telling you right now, when they start calling you names and saying you're of the devil, start rejoicing, because the devil just showed his hand and you are truly of the Father. All right? All right, God goes on to say, no weapon has been formed that can stop this mighty move of my glory. And that's in Psalm 54:17, but I like that. No weapon has been formed that can stop this mighty move of my glory. In other words, it doesn't matter what the enemy has been doing, it's not going to stop the glory from coming. The enemy has run out of options. Now listen to what he says here. The enemy has run out of options, but he has not raised the white flag of surrender. See that? He intends to fight my beloved ones, which is you and I, to the very end. He already knows he's lost, but he's not going to give in. Therefore, you must keep your heads up and your eyes on the prize of the high calling in your lives. You must know who you are and who sent you on this assignment. There can never be any doubt. This is a life and death assignment. So the enemy's still out there on the prowl, trying to make you believe the lie. And it's up to you whether you believe him or you believe what God has spoken over your life. Now, if you've gone to false prophets, then I don't know what you're going to do. But if you've made sure you only went to true prophets, then whatever God spoke over your life is surely going to come to pass. All right? God says the enemy is always on the alert, and he is always watching for a crack in your armor. Give him no place. Give him no opportunity to abort your assignments. Let me read that again. The enemy is always on the alert, and he is always watching for a crack in your armor. Give him no place. Give him no opportunity to abort your assignments. Are you listening? Some of you men in here, your assignment is to get yourself right with God and be head of the household and show your family the way to Christ. All you men are assigned that. It's not some of you. God said, keep your eyes fastened on the prize and remember what the disciples of old endured to see the souls come into the kingdom of light. You know, let's stop here for a second. Let's not be what we used to be. How come I have to go through this? Because what did he say? Keep your eyes fastened on the prize and remember what the disciples of old endured to see the souls come into the kingdom of light. Guy went through something for 10 years. I said, God, why do I have to go through this? He said, one soul. This is for one soul to be brought out of hell and brought into my kingdom. So for 10 years, I had to endure the hardship of whatever the enemy threw my way to make sure that one soul went to heaven. Are you listening here? Come on. Philippians 3:12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am ready already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upright call of God in Christ Jesus. We can't keep going back to tomorrow. Tomorrow's dead, it's gone, you can't resurrect it. Whatever you did yesterday is done, and it's going to be forever done. And God's telling us to look forward and not backward. And this was Paul was saying. He said, no matter what, I'm keeping my eyes on Christ. I'm headed for that prize. God said, you can do this. I only select the very elite to fight in my army. Okay, you whiners, you can do this. Amen. I only select the very elite to fight in my army. I have tested and tried each and every one of you. You came out of the furnace of affliction as pure gold, sword in hand, ready to take on all darkness. This is what God sees when he looks at you. I had to start looking through the eyes of God. Amen. Not just teasing, because I do see that you have grown by leaps and bounds. And I sit in my office and I do thank God for you, even when you do something stupid. I never do anything stupid, by the way. But I do. I thank God, because he said, I'm going to take the Lighthouse Church and I'm going to shake it until all you have left is a handful. And with that handful of faithful ones, I'm going to bring in my glory. And you are the handful that God has chosen to bring in his glory. So wherever you go, that glory cloud is with you. That glory is within inside of you. And you have the anointing to destroy the yokes. Donna, you need to start laying your hands on people. You have the anointing in your hands to heal. I was going to pull you up and have you do that today, but it would have broke the spirit. I'll train you another day. Amen. See, God knows what's in us. And he won't embarrass you, and he won't embarrass himself. All right? Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, what did God say? He only chose the very elite. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, we're going to read that again, and I want you to test yourself here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's your attributes that you have to have. Amen. How many of you are just right now, just, you know, the last 2 months, just realized, hey, God has took me in some really deep water, troubled waters. But now I realize I'm a better person than I was before I went into those deep, troubled waters. And in those deep, troubled waters, God destroyed everything that wasn't of him in me. And he brought it all to the surface so I could repent of it and set myself free. How about you? So if you've seen the dirty, ugly side of you that you just knew was pure and holy, that's God saying, this is still in there. Or this is coming there because of things you went through, but I need it. Because I can't use you with that dirty, ugly stuff inside of you. I need all of that dirty, ugly stuff. So if God's been showing you, don't say, oh, that's not me. Yes, it is. Or he wouldn't be showing it to you. That can't be me. Yes, it can. You're just denying that it's there. Love the unlovable. When you say, oh, they drive me to distraction, you don't have the love all perfected at all. You don't even know what love the unlovable means. Love the unlovable means when you want to crucify them and stick their head in the toilet and flush it. Instead, you put your arms around about them and love them. Amen. That's really what it means. So have we perfected that yet? We're working on it too, aren't we? Well, get it done right now today because God wants to use us, right? Well, there are those of you who are really stuck in the mud. In other words, you're stuck in a place that you can't quite get yourself out of. Even though this is what God's telling me, even everything God did right now, there's some things deep down inside of you that God wants to go in and wash out of you right now. As some of you have insecurities still. And you know what God's telling you that he wants you to do, but you just don't think that you're quite ready to do that. You have to be ready to do that because God has begun a good works and he's not going to stop until Jesus comes again. So if that's you and you know that I'll just say insecurity. You need to give that. You need to come to the altar and give that to God, because what he's going to do is wash you from inside out.